When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's going on, Jermaine Johnson? Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at Will Paul 11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Busy week on the feed. Had Brad Spielberger, PFF, on, and Mike Brenner, the Messenger, on yesterday. Today, Alan Hahn, ESPN, MSG, everyone knows who you are at this point, right? It's easier said than done, but Alan, how are we doing today, man?
Good. Looking forward. You know, it's funny. We've been talking already this week, and we want to talk ourselves into 3-3. Which was unimaginable if you consider four plays into the season. But I'm going to keep talking myself into it until, you know, until game time and you start to wonder, how can they beat this team? The Eagles are so good.
I know. And well, it'll be 10-0, and then the Jets will give us a bunch of hope, and it's either they can figure it out like they did against Buffalo and Denver, or it'll be Dallas and KC all over again. Yes, last week, obviously, the Denver game was – it was the classic Jets letdown game, right? Play well against Kansas City, almost take them to the wire. Everyone expects them to beat Denver. What was your level of kind of concern going into that game, and how did you feel like they kind of, I guess, were you just happy with a 10-point win? Like, were you like, some people were kind of mad they didn't look as good as they were hoping? Like, where'd you land on last week?
Yeah, it's such a great question to ask, because I learned this a lot of times from pros. It's like you never take wins for granted. When you get a win, you take the win. There's no moral victories, and there's no ugly wins. None. Like, you just take them. And I think that's how I viewed it. It, you know, the start certainly had you a little bit concerned. They couldn't contain Russ, and it was another quarterback that was running all over you. But you start to learn about your team, and you start to learn that even last year too, it was a defense that always adjusted in game, and they adjust well in game. So you feel like, all right, they'll probably make adjustments. They'll be able to figure it out. And we saw it against the Chiefs. We saw it against, you know, obviously Denver as well. Eventually the defense figures it out enough to get you or keep you in the game. The only problem is your curiosity about an offense that, you know, is it ever going to be good enough to get in the red zone and score? You can get big plays, and Breece gave him a big play. But I still think my hesitation, and it's all every Jets fan always, you know, you feel like something bad's going to happen. And then when the Aaron Rodgers thing happened, it felt like if there's no epitome of Jet fan more than that moment right there, I mean, that certainly was it. But that's the thing that holds me back from really being all in on wanting this to be the little engine that could all of a sudden, is the offense hasn't gotten to a point yet where I'm confident that they can go down the field and score. I think they can go down the field and get 3 points. But when you're playing against big-time teams, and this first 6 weeks has been a killer, you got to be able to put 6 on the board when you get into the red zone. And against Philly and this defense, you know, I'm not sure. You know, I think that's my biggest fear, and that's been my fear for this team. And that Patriots loss now looks even worse because they are so bad. And the fact that you couldn't, when you needed it most, get the touchdowns, that you couldn't do anything in the first half. That's where I'm waiting and wondering, is the offense ever going to be good enough to be confident in it when they need to get a score?
Yeah, you look at it and it's frustrating because that Chiefs game could have been the moral victory, house money game.
Oh my God.
And instead, yeah. It's like you kind of leave that game and you're like, we should be 2-2 at worst here. And, you know, that's obviously the frustrating part. I agree on the red zone stuff. I think they've been so good this year about holding teams in the red zone. You know, on defense, but on offense, look, Philly's defense in the red zone is 30th in the NFL right now, but the Jets are 32nd in red zone offense. So it's not like something's got to give. They're 12-0 against the Jets all time. They're 5-0. Something maybe you hope on Sunday. You obviously have Garrett Wilson on the show every week, and you know he's awesome to listen to, and you guys do a great job with him. He actually, you know, gives you guys a real interview. It's not your normal you know ABC check these three things off type of interview. I guess what's been your favorite part of going and getting to talk with him every week? Because I feel like we've seen his personality. He's just like a fun person to listen to talk about football and seems like a normal, nice guy.
He really is. It's genuine what you get on the show. You know, like that's just his personality. We spent some time with him already. It was kind of cool at the end of today's show because Bart on Wednesdays, he goes to Florham Park because he does stuff in the morning before our show for the Jets. He does stuff with Nick Mangold and Brian Boldinger and stuff like that. So he does the show from there. And while we were at the end of the show, Garrett happened to walk by the place where Bart was doing the show from, and he just popped in and he just started talking like, and that's just him. He's that cool. He's wise beyond his years, but he's also mature beyond his years. And that's kind of what I like about him is that he understands his talent, but he also understands the business that he's in. So he knows I'm going to do a weekly, I got to bring something to the table. Like he's not thinking, I'm just going to take the money and I'm going to give you a bunch of cliches and say nothing, because who the hell wants to listen to that? And we've seen a lot of athlete interviews and coaches who are on weeklies. They don't tell you anything. And it's, you know, you're like, man, change the channel. He's not like that. He's must listen every week. He gives us something. We try to have fun with him, talk about things, just not football. But I love it. I think it just shows you again that what he is on the field, these are building block kind of players that, you know, you want Garrett Wilson to be a Jet for the next 12 years. You want him to retire a Jet. You want him to be up there with, you know, the Altoons and the Wesley Walkers. You know, you want him in that conversation, you know, with all those guys in the end, because he's that talented, but he's also personality-wise somebody that's so easy to root for.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, that draft class in 2022 is something that is obviously been a building block. And we look at it this year, how crazy was it to see Breece Hall not only just come back week one, which I thought, you know, maybe he'll be back. I said by the bye, I think is when he's going to get the pitch count taken off. I was off by 2 weeks. I feel like last week is the first time we saw him 100% confident in the knee. I felt like the Bills game, the Chiefs game, I know you can blame Garrett or Tyler Conklin for not making that final block. I just didn't feel like he had that 100%, 21 mile an hour cut off the knee. I still felt like he was a little hesitant. He did not look hesitant at all on Sunday. How impressed are you that he's back this quickly? Because, I don't know, he had his knee redone and less than a year ago, and he's already sixth in the NFL in rushing on 50 carries.
Yeah, that's the impressive part, is that it came back as fast as it did. And we're starting to see that too. I mean, the ACL used to be a death sentence for players. When I was in college, I played college basketball at a low level, but I blew out my ACL, and that was it. It was in the early 90s, and people, like, only Bernard King was coming back from stuff like that. Like, it was a death sentence. And so what it's become now is it used to be a year. Now it's even less than that, and you see these guys proving it. Leg strength's everything, and obviously he's got tremendous leg strength and speed. He's a big, strong back, which is why he's so effective. But I also found it, like, as we were all talking about it being Nathaniel Hackett's story going back to Denver, we had to remember this is also for an athlete to return to where you were injured and it was a serious injury that he had, and then to have the performance that he had on that field, man, that says so much about him. That's the mental part of coming back from an injury that you need. You got to break through and trust everything. And what better place to do it than the scene of the crime, where he was on his way to being offensive rookie of the year up until that injury. So that's what I'm impressed with. And it kind of shows you that, again, you're not just dealing with a guy who's a great runner or fast. He's got it upstairs as well. And I love that part of it. So it was great to see. I wanted to see him get 200. You know, once he got to 170, you're like, you know, can he get 200? Can he cut two Bills down in this game? He probably could have. Luckily, they didn't need him to. But it really does say a lot how much he's come back and what a weapon he can be. And it takes pressure off having Zach Wilson to be somebody that's got to make big decisions with the ball. If you are that much of a focal point of the defense, and if Dalvin Cook can get his legs under him, and I'm hoping even in Denver you saw a little something, even though he didn't get a lot of work, just if they can get him to start getting his legs under him again, that running game becomes such a threat that it takes the pressure off of Zach Wilson, because when everybody's focusing on that running game, it takes some of the mess out of the field. And now Garrett's in one-on-ones, you know, and now Lazard's in one-on-ones. And for Zach Wilson, it's a lot easier than having to constantly look safeties off and worry about a linebacker coming across. Like, if you have a cleaner field to look at because they're so worried about the running game, I want Zach Wilson to do what Mark Sanchez did. Play action, pass stuff, rely on the run game as much as you can, and be opportunistic when you do throw the ball. And Breece allows that to happen when he looks like he did in Denver.
Yeah, he's a back that I don't know if we've seen. The Jets have never really had – like, Curtis Martin was more of like 5, 6, 7, yeah. You know, 7 a carry. Breece is like – he has that in his game, but he also has the 75 in the blink of an eye. And I know everyone got on Tiki that he is not a deceptively fast guy. He is just a 4-3 guy. I want to ask you about the two kind of biggest hot topics this week, not from necessarily a positive perspective. Elijah Vera Tucker, I feel horrible for the guy. Kind of comes back, was playing at an all-pro level again. And then it's like these freak injuries, Achilles, torn tricep. Like, it's not like he's sitting there getting rolled up in piles. Like, they're just out of nowhere. It's happening. And then the Mecole Hardman thing, I don't make that much of it just because he hasn't played at all this year. But is it a little disappointing to you that they've not been able to figure out a way to get anything out of him, or is it just Xavier Gibson's took his spot?
I think it's a little bit of the Gibson thing. And, you know, you see it because if you watch Hard Knocks, which I know you did, like, you saw how much they fell in love with him right at the beginning. He's a great story. And then on top of it, he's got the speed. You can use him on special teams. And we saw that right away in week one, just what a weapon he can be when it comes to special teams. So the versatility's there. He's cheaper, you know, you can get him to do things. And there's a part of me that wants to believe that Hardman was more for the Aaron Rodgers playbook than it is for Zach Wilson. And I get it, because, like, I asked Bart this stuff. I'm like, well, wait a second. Shouldn't Hardman be actually valuable to Zach Wilson? Because you're essentially just dump it off to him and let him use his speed and playmaking ability out in the flat. And he said, well, not really. Because that's just simply the whole – everybody will be focused on him. You have other players who can do that stuff. And Gibson just keeps running where he doesn't even get the ball, but you see him just kind of running back and forth just to create distractions for the defense. So were they preserving Hardman because they knew, well, we have Gibson. We don't want Hardman to get hurt, and he could be an asset for us as far as a trade goes. Or did they just feel that – Mecole was here for Aaron Rodgers, who would know how to use him and know how to manipulate defenses to get him into situations where he can get into one-on-ones and do what he does best? I don't know. But I got to believe that that's a big part of this. Otherwise, why would they just suddenly go from a guy that you thought could be a weapon to a guy that's persona non grata?
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I think Xavier Gibson played, I believe, 18 snaps on offense. Only he's touched the ball one time so far this year. So, like,
yeah.
I'm excited
but
about
him. But
he's
running around like crazy,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's getting the run game. Yeah.
Like, pre-snap, he's all over the place and he never touches the ball.
He's doing the Elijah Moore from last year. Elijah just wasn't so receptive to doing that job. I guess, how do you kind of look at the rest of the season, right? We kind of talked about it. Obviously, you're dreaming of 3-3 here. I don't think this game is as cut and dry as it. The biggest issue is the Jets run, you know. Can they protect Zach and can they stop the run, which is obviously what the Eagles are best at. So there's that. But I don't think getting a wild card spot's out of the question. Like, I truly don't. I feel like the schedule opens up really nicely for them here. I feel like the AFC is not quite as good as we might have thought, or it's everyone's just beating up on each other. Buffalo has suffered a ton of really serious injuries. New England's terrible. Cleveland's not as good as we thought. Baltimore, like, there's a lot there. I know not everybody share. I'm probably too optimistic on this, but, like, I still see a path to 10 wins. Like, I really do. Maybe that's optimistic, 9 wins, whatever it is. Even if they lose this game, I don't feel like the season's over. Like, that win in Denver kept them alive for the next 5, 6, 7 weeks.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
So it's amazing. Jets fans, optimistic. Who'd have thought it? But there is reason for it. I feel like the season is just getting started now. Like, I almost feel like this game, you get those first 6 weeks out of the way. This was the gauntlet we all worried about. There was this thought, like I said, if you can get out of it 3-3 with Aaron Rodgers, you'd feel pretty good. Without him, it's amazing if you're 3-3 and you somehow pull off the upset. Somebody's always got to go. It's either going to be the streak or it's going to be the 5-0 that the Eagles have, right? Something's got to go in this thing. But I think the season really now becomes real because we're in that winnable games portion of the schedule. And I'm looking at the pocket. That's not necessarily like, look, out of the bye against the Giants. If you you should win that game. The Giants are a mess. You're coming out of a bye. There's no reason to lose this game. Beyond that, though, I'm looking at this. There's a 3-week span where you play the Dolphins twice. You got them on Black Friday, which is the big game, of course, the National League, 3:00, weird start time and all that stuff. But you got them then, and then you got them a couple of weeks later down in Miami, which is to your favor because it's not when it's humid and heat and they put you on the other side of the field with the sun baking on you and all that stuff. That's good. But that's dangerous because we all know, Miami's really good. You've already beaten Buffalo. That's fine. Because you needed that in your pocket, you got it. Miami, though, this is to me, though, that pocket of the season is going to tell me where exactly you are. Because if you can try to get one of those and win the winnable games, I think you're right there. Just like you said, everybody in the AFC's got a problem. Like everybody does. You know, like Kansas City just looks like they're just above everybody else because they always are. But after that, Cincinnati, Buffalo, they have injuries. You know, Miami, I mean, Armstead's out. They lost him for a bunch of time, and HN is out. They're going to miss at least a little bit of him for the next couple of weeks, and he's a big part of their speed package. So it's not like you're the only team dealing with injuries. Stay in it. You can be one of the top seven teams, but you got to be able to still steal a few more. So beyond trying to steal Philly, if you don't, you're 2-4. Now you got to steal another one, and that Miami – you know, again, it's seeing them twice in a short span is what bothers me. And you got to try to split that one to stay alive and really prove yourself as a team that should be a playoff team. So once we get to Thanksgiving, I think it really gets real. But the schedule after the bye, to me, this is when the season for the Jets really does begin.
Yeah, we look at, last couple of things. So we look at that. You know, we look at this Philly game and, you know, they've sleptwalked through some games. Not only early on this year, they have Miami next week, and that's a game that very easily could be the 5-1 Dolphins, who have Carolina, who suck, and you know the Eagles have never lost to the Jets. There's a good chance they could sleepwalk into this game, coming off the West Coast trip and going to Miami. It's like,
yeah,
this is a perfect opportunity to catch a team while they're sleeping. Then the Jets go to a bye. They have the Giants, as you mentioned, the Chargers coming here off a West Coast trip, and their coach, you know, on a short week. long going across the country, I don't trust at all. They get the Raiders.
And that defense stinks.
Yeah, that defense stinks. And then, you know, you mentioned that stretch. They get Miami at home. They have Houston. I forget who else. So they have somebody else, too. That's a very winnable game. And then they have Miami.
Atlanta. You have Atlanta. Yeah.
Three or four at home. Like,
yeah, week 13, it's Atlanta and Houston. Right. And that's in between the Miami games. Right.
Yeah. So, like, at the end of the day, like, take care of business. Like, you got to steal – you probably have to steal two left on the schedule, whether that's Cleveland, whether that's the Bills again, a Miami game, this Philly game. Just put yourself in advantageous spots so we don't have to talk about winning in Foxborough. As bad as the Patriots team is.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, because I looked at this. Bart and I were going over the schedule today, and I saw this guy. I'm thinking to myself, all right, you want to be in it. You want to go into the last week of the season. You know, we all remember what happened in 2015 when Fitzmagic and company went up to Buffalo, and all they had to do was, they already had 10 wins. Let's go see Rex. Let's beat a Buffalo team that was going nowhere and get into the playoffs. And we all saw what happened. They laid an egg. It was embarrassing. And it's something we still talk about today. Like Willie Colon, who didn't play in the game, but he was up there with the Jets because he was hurt. And I would say to him, like, how the hell did you lose that game? And he said, I don't know. Like, we weren't feeling it. You could see it on the field before the game. We just weren't feeling it. And I'm like, how is that possible? But I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm like, Bart, can you imagine? Think about this scenario. You need to win and get in. The Patriots have nothing to play for at this point. They're done. They actually have a shot at getting, let's say, a top three pick. They're so bad. They can get their quarterback of the future. And Bill Belichick is like, no, hell no. No, we're not laying down. We're winning this game. Like, he will coach his ass off in this game to just to make sure he beats the Jets. Even if it costs him Caleb Williams, he wouldn't care, because beating the Jets and keeping that streak is what matters more to him. And that's the nightmare. But you know what? Sign me up just to get to that game, because I'd love to see it, because I need another can't wait moment. The Jets can go up to Foxborough and get the win.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you. It's one of those things I know everyone stresses about. It's like, let's get to that point. And then if we get to that point, everyone can come up with the theories and stuff like that. Last two things here. One, you know, there's a lot of talk. Rodgers, could he come back? How crazy would it be if, like I know, again, it's like, let's get to that point. Let's make sure they're in contention to even have a chance of Rodgers coming back. But, like, how big, like, how, I don't even know if realistic's the right word, just because we've literally never seen somebody do it, but it just feels like there's so much talk of this could happen. Do you buy into any of that, or is it just like Rodgers wants people to kind of talk about him and keep himself relevant a little bit, and he wants to be the white, you know, whatever, the knight in shining armor, whatever the right word is? Like, how much is it that, or how much is it like he really thinks he could come back week 17, week 18, or whatever, you know, for a playoff, you know, appearance?
I don't know if this is him wanting everybody to talk about him, because we're going to talk about him regardless. I don't think he's at a point in his life where he needs people talking about him. I mean, his absence from the Jets will always keep him in the conversation, because if they ended up having like a terrible season, we'd constantly say how badly they've missed him. And, you know, if you're somebody who's narcissistic, you love hearing, well, the team sucks because that guy got hurt, because that makes you feel like, you know, yeah, I mean that much. So I don't think it's that. Does he like it? Yeah, of course. I think, and this is from, you know, again, 20 years of covering professional athletes and being around them and stuff, I think he needs the why. I think he needs the drive, the I want people to say he's not going to come back. He can't do it, because then whatever arduous rehab he has to go through, whatever crazy stuff he's got to do, he can attack every day, because he's got somebody to hate. He's got somebody to prove wrong. Guys like him need a chip on their shoulder all the time. And I think him setting that up just to hear people tell him he can't, I think that builds the motivation and the fire inside him to want to. Can he? I don't know. It's unlikely, because obviously it's never been done before. I'll say this. If we get to a point in the season that the Jets are relevant enough for him to come back, whether it's first game of the playoffs, whether it's that week 18 game in New England to take them home, there's a lot of things to debate. If Zach Wilson's played well enough for the Jets to be a playoff team, do you want to make a change at that point? Is it the right thing to do? That's number one. Then if he hasn't played well enough for the Jets to be in contention, he can be healthy and ready to throw a football in week 15. I'm not letting him do that, because – These aren't games that are going to help us. We're not going to win. We're already eliminated from the playoffs, so there's no reason for him to play. So that's why it's still sort of a fantasy kind of outcome. We'd all sign up for it, wouldn't we? I'd love to debate, to have the legitimate debate of, all right, Rodgers says he's ready, he's been cleared, but should he play? That's a great debate to have. I'd love to have it because it means they're in position to make the playoffs, which means it's been a good season. But right now, it still feels like fantasy and hard to believe until I can see it with my own eyes. But I'd love to. And what a story, what a way to write the story that Aaron Rodgers would put together if he can do something like that. So, yeah. You know, let's see. Buckle up.
Yeah, no, look, it's kind of a similar thing with what we said about the winning in New England. It's like, if we get to the point where we're having that conversation, like, sign me up. There's a lot to talk about. It'll make the exactly. That we kind of go, go even, better. Last kind of thing here, one basketball question, because I know everyone loves I'm a Nets fan, as we've talked about before. So I'm excited about this Nets season because I think they're a team that'll be fun to watch. I don't think they have any championship aspirations, but they should be a playoff team, and Mikal Bridges and these guys, and they have a million draft picks in cap space now. Like, they're a team to watch the deadline if they're good enough. Do they make one of those crazy moves? From a Knicks perspective, as much as I don't like the Knicks, I know everyone that most of the people that listen to this show do like the Knicks. So I'll ask you one Knicks question. What's your level of, is this the most you've been about a Knicks team since maybe the year coming off the Melo, 50 plus win team? Like, it feels like they kind of have a lot of momentum, and Miami not getting Dame kind of kept them in that conversation. Is that like that next group of teams, right? I mean, there's a big block of teams right there, alongside Milwaukee and Boston.
Yeah, it's Milwaukee and Boston and everybody else. You know, the middle of the pack is pretty tight, and you've got everybody in the same place. And I agree. Like, if Lillard ended up in Miami, that conversation now includes three teams, not just two. So that does change things. I'll say it like this. Excited? No, it's not. I don't really get excited at this point. It's more or less my anticipation for this season and expectation is the highest it's been since going into that 2012-13 season when, they surrounded Carmelo with a lot of older but very talented player, Jason Kidd and Rasheed Wallace. And they really built themselves a good roster, but you knew it was a short window kind of thing to see if they could make a run. And they had a great year, 54 wins. They really just ran out of gas. They should have beaten the Pacers, didn't. And that's a story for another day. But since then, the anticipation wasn't the same. I didn't have that same expectation. But coming off 47 wins, adding a good player in DiVincenzo, bringing back the team that, has proven it can win games, it can stay healthy, and it can win in the playoffs. Now the anticipation is, okay, well, let's see what they can be in the East, which is top heavy, but can you be a top four team? Can you be third or fourth and get home court in the first round and, be a team that can advance in the playoffs and get a good matchup? Can you be a team that's good enough that during the season when a player becomes available, you're now a player in trying to get somebody to take you to that next level, take you to that next step because they have assets to do it? That's the anticipation I have for this year. But until they can get that elusive star, it's hard to get excited about their chances because you need stars to win in this game. And that's what was different about that 2013 team. They had Melo. They had Amari. They had Tyson Chandler. They had an older but still very wise and very good Jason Kidd. You felt like that's a really good team. This team is very good, but that's what they're missing. They're missing the star that gets you over the top, especially in a playoff series. So I think they're going to be good. I think they can touch 50 wins. I think they can be a top four, team, depending on health and everything else, as always. And it'll be exciting to see along the way if, there's a trade to be made, can they and will they make it?
Last quick thing here. This is totally biased. The MLB playoffs have not felt anywhere near the same that the Yankees in it because the Yankees are always the team. If you're not a Yankees fan, everyone can root against them. The environment in the Bronx, like, they're the biggest market, biggest team. It's felt really weird. The series have kind of all sucked because they've been pretty much blowouts across the board, except for, maybe we'll get something with this Phillies Braves series. But it's felt really weird with the Yankees not in the playoffs. I'm not just saying that because obviously I'm upset they're not in the playoffs, but like, it just doesn't hit the same this year in the playoffs where, with the Yankees. Am I crazy to say that? Is that just totally biased?
No. Well, it's what you're doing is a Northeast bias, is a New York bias, because there's no Red Sox, there's no, you're right. I agree with you. There's no one to hate. There isn't. There's no one to hate. And so with that, you know, like you kind of have that, something's missing, but it's mainly because of where we are. We're being very provincial right now. We're all saying the playoffs are boring because the Yankees aren't in it, the Mets aren't in it, and there's no one to hate in it. You kind of like have grown out of the Astros thing at this point. So it's like locally it's bad for the sport, but I think if you look at the way the Texas Rangers are playing right now, you know, you look at what you're seeing from other markets. I mean, Atlanta, that's a really good team. And that series, you know, Phillies last year showed you. So that series actually looks like it could be something special, and then we'll see where things go beyond. But I just think this is more of a provincial thing. We feel like when the Yankees aren't in it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. And it's been, you know, it's been a long time. Like, they went on a nice run from 2017 on. They couldn't take that next step. And now they've got to try to reset again. I still think, though, it's not good for baseball to not have at least one team from the biggest market involved in the sport, in the playoffs. It does hurt on a national level, but the sport has become regional now. It's not what it used to be. So therefore, for us in this market, it's like easy to tune out.
Yeah, it's like ratings-wise, I'm very curious how it's going to shake out with just no Red Sox, no Yankees. Those are markets that, like, the Dodgers, yeah. The Dodgers just, they collapse every year except for COVID, and they don't really have the same, you know, they don't have the same draw necessarily at the Yankees or the Red Sox might. Obviously, appreciate you hopping on. I know we both are running around tonight, but appreciate you hopping on. Obviously, make sure you guys are catching Barton Hahn. You know, weekdays, obviously, like I mentioned, you have a really cool interview weekly with Garrett Wilson. Let's cross our fingers for a nice Jets W on Sunday, and then 2 weeks to basically hype up a poop fecta bowl of the Giants versus the Jets again in a few weeks. Appreciate you hopping on, as always, man.
You got it, Will. Take it easy.